Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Everyone is talking about If.
I'm going to go on a limb here, but I like it. I love it.
It's original and heartfelt.
Ta-da!
And the must-see comedy of the summer that's perfect for the whole family.
This is just so exciting.
If. Rated PG. Now playing in theaters.
A Nickelodeon original podcast.
Did you know you can get bonus episodes of Avatar Braving the Elements? Subscribe to Avatar Braving the Elements Premium
on Apple Podcasts for early access, extra episodes, and ad-free listening. Just $2.99 a month.
Friends, benders, and non-benders alike, welcome to Braving the Elements, Nickelodeon's podcast about all things Avatarverse. I'm Janet Varney.
And I'm Dante Bosco, and we're about to dive into a couple of pretty incredible episodes of Avatar, Varney. Hope you brought your eclipse glasses.
My friend, not only did I bring my eclipse glasses, which I absolutely will not need, but I also brought a perfect person to cover these seminal episodes of the mid-season of Book 3, buddy. And of course, I am talking about someone who loves the Avatarverse just as much as we do.
Yes, someone whose own knowledge of the Avatarverse makes me very proud to know him. Someone we love hanging out with on the show time and time again.
That's right, Cabbage Heads. We are talking about the friend we affectionately call the Perfector, because he's basically already a professor of the Avatarverse, and his first name is Hector. So that's what the cleverness is there, everybody. It's our friend Hector Navarro. Hello, Hector.
Hey, everybody. I'm so happy to be here. It is an honor to hang out with you both. And yeah, these episodes are all-timers, so I can't wait to get into them.
All-timers.
They are indeed. Hector, help us out. What's going on? I mean, there's a lot going on in the series so far.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And it just keeps getting more and more and more a lot going on as each episode goes on.
Yes.
But before we join Team Avatar for a daring invasion of the Fire Nation Palace, let's remind everyone quickly what's happening in the timeline leading up to this. Our last Avatar, The Last Airbender episode was, of course, Nightmares and Daydreams, when we start the countdown to the eclipse at 4 days out and watch Aang unravel more and more as the clock ticks down. Along the way, the rest of Team Avatar tells him not to be so anxious, which, you know, is just great for a person with anxiety. That's the best.
We love being told that.
We love being told
that. Calms him down immediately.
And speaking of anxiety, Zuko worries about not being invited to a war planning meeting, while Mei tells him not to be so stressed. Again, super helpful. And in fact, it does turn out that Zuko is now considered a valued member of his father's team. So why doesn't he seem happy about it? I mean, aside from the fact that he's Zuko, what's going on?
He's in an existential crisis, but I don't know if we know
feel
how
like
deep
himself.
It is.
He doesn't
until
feel like himself,
these episodes,
you guys.
Right, you guys? What? Who is That's himself? Right. That's not a sentence that should ever be said, but who is himself?
Who is himself?
I'm doubling down.
I do love the ending of that episode. It's planting those seeds leading to some of the best stuff about the entire universe of Avatar, which is the Zuko storyline. It's so good. I love that he's unhappy that he's part of the valued team of his father's inner circle. I love that. We need that.
Yes.
And it's going to pay off.
Yes.
Be careful what
yeah,
you
we
wish
have to
for.
See him
be careful
get
what
he
you wish for.
Exactly. Exactly. So well said, my friend. Yeah, you have to see him get everything so we can see what he decides to do with everything. It's a bit of a book 1, 2, and 3 reunion when Chief Hakoda joins Team Avatar for the invasion, bringing some familiar faces with him for the fight just in time for the planned invasion on the day of the solar eclipse. Now, things seem to be going pretty well as the ragtag group gains ground on the Palace City, but there's more than one surprise hidden in this episode. And including, of course, a big one, when Aang reaches Ozai's throne. But we're not going to get ahead of ourselves. This episode was written by one of our two dads, Mike DiMartino, and directed by our dear friend, Giancarlo Volpe. And of course, it's a two-parter. As I said before, we are going to have the Perfector with us for two episodes so we can go through this adventure together.
So we open this episode alongside Team Avatar at the rendezvous spot we know from Nightmares and Daydreams as Sokka carefully reviews their atlases, surveying the plan. Does everyone remember when Toph gave Sokka the money to buy these atlases back in the Runaway? Love how it all connects there. It's all paying off. Aang seems like he's feeling pretty zippy, which is a nice change from how he was feeling in the last episode. And then when Toph brings up the Avatar state, Aang has to explain that Azula locked his seventh chakra, cutting off his connection to all this cosmic energy in the universe, which seems like a really big deal, right? It's the first time the gang has heard about this.
I mean, is it? That's what I'm trying to remember.
When Azula shot me with lightning, my seventh chakra was locked, cutting off my connection to all the cosmic energy in the universe.
You know what I just heard? Blah, blah, spiritual mumbo jumbo, blah, blah, something about space.
He was pretty good with it. When I heard it, I was like, damn, he really understood. I thought he didn't pay attention enough to the guru, and he left. But he actually picked up a lot.
You were like, okay, whatever, and he passed the test. Okay,
I was like,
I just can't remember if that conversation has happened before. Like, has the conversation of him saying, yeah, because it seems like everybody kind of takes it in stride, but it's like a really big deal.
Mm-hmm. It's a really big deal.
I'm not sure.
And he really knew the scientific, spiritual concept behind what was going on. He was paying attention to Guru, even though he left his classes early. Hey. He knew. He knows what's going on. Whatever the case, Toph doesn't seem too concerned. Just then, Hakoda and his fleet of water tribe ships arrive, cloaked in fog, and they brought some special folks along that Sokka asked them to find. We've got the Swamp Benders, a fun callback to one of Arnie's favorite lines. Where's Haru? Where, you know, do they got Haru and Tyro? And we all remember from Book One's imprisoned episode, except now Haru's got some fancy facial hair, which I was like, oh yeah, he got a goatee going on. It's growing up. And we've got the hippo and the boulder ready to fight for their kingdom from the blind bandit. And the mechanist came out who just blew some stuff up on the ship while making peanut sauce with his son, Teo, who presents Aang with a new glider. And by the way, the new glider has a snack compartment built in it, which Aang does, he does not give a lot of love to at that time. But it's genius. It's great to see all these guys back.
Yeah,
I mean, earlier with Laura, she was talking about how she loved the beginning of Act One of a thing because she likes to build the worlds. But Laura Montgomery. She talked in an earlier episode about the early seasons like building the world. But I love third act of this whole story where you kind of get these characters that we all kind of were met earlier all together to do this thing. I really love that feeling, everyone, it's like it all building up to this and seeing, it's like seeing old friends.
And you know who it's been a real long time since we last saw? Uncle Iroh. And we're finally getting to check in on him at the prison. He's being taunted by Warden Poon, who apparently has nothing better to do than to just sit outside Iroh's cell, filing his nails and being rude. A guard named Ming comes in with Iroh's food, and it's clear from the start that she's sympathetic to Iroh and is showing him kindness. And if Ming's voice sounds familiar, it's because she's played by none other than tennis superstar Serena Williams.
The GOAT.
Serena.
The GOAT.
The GOAT.
Huge fan of the Avatarverse. Huge fan of the Avatarverse. Inspired by it. Loved it.
It's
ended
crazy.
Up doing the show. How about that?
So wild.
Love it. Listen, Serena... I'm a pretty big fan of her tennis, but I'm an even bigger fan of how she's a for real legit nerd. She loves her fandoms.
Yes.
She loves that stuff.
Agreed.
So, it's amazing.
So happy to hear
and
her.
And she's
in
a member
this.
Of the Fire Nation.
Now that
she's
we're
a
back,
member of Fire Nation.
Claim it, Dante. Claim it. That's
claim
fine.
It.
That's
I'm
fine.
Claiming it. I'm claiming it.
Serena.
Fire Nation.
That's
Serena.
Great.
Never forget. Okay. Never forget.
Never forget. So then now we're back with the Water Tribe soldiers and allies. A very nervous Sokka addresses the crowd to go over the plan. Well, more than just the plan, since he starts to tell the entire story of the series until Hakoda takes over. We learn how the team plans to take advantage of the 8-minute eclipse to deal with the guards at the palace so that Aang can defeat the Fire Lord. Sounds like a great plan. Then we see everybody suit up for battle, which includes Appa in the armor that Sokka made for him. It is awesome. And then Aang shaves his head, joined by a koala sheep buddy for support.
Nickelodeon's got your preschoolers covered from sunrise to bedtime with four brand new podcasts. Grab their backpack and go on a culinary quest with Dora's Recipe for Adventure. Make game time great time with Let's Guess Who with Josh and Blue. And tuck in for adventure with Nickelodeon's Goodnight Bedtime Stories. Plus, we've got a brand new season of Storytime with Josh and Blue. Search Nickelodeon on your favorite podcast app to listen.
I mean, who knew those koala sheep were just going to be such a huge part of the last couple of episodes? It's what helps Aang go to sleep. We got some little cuties just hanging out, giving a little for support. You know I'm on board for anything in the hybrid animal world. So inside the palace, we see Zuko take down his topknot. He removes his royal attire and he begins to write something. But what? But we don't know, because this is one of those little Avatar tricks where we immediately head back to Sokka, who is telling Aang how disappointed he is in himself for choking when he was supposed to be presenting his battle plan. But Aang reassures him.
Look, your moment of truth isn't going to be in front of some map. It's going to be out there on the battlefield.
You seem so confident about everything. How do you know we're going to win?
Because I already failed the world once at Ba Sing Se. I won't let myself fail again.
Now the fleet heads towards the great gates of Azulon, masked by fog, but a flaming net rises up to stop them, and soldiers on some, frankly, very nifty jet skis are headed their way. They board one of the boats, and of course, we're all like, oh my gosh, this is terrible. They boarded the boat, but it seems deserted. And it is, because this was all part of the plan. The entire fleet is swimming under the nets in submarines. Yeah. Sokka and the Mechanist work together to create these subs, which are powered by waterbending. It is a total and complete success, if you don't count the part where Toph barfs. We know that Toph's very sensitive to certain non-Earth areas, and we can't blame her. They've made it under the net and towards the beaches, but they are going to have to surface before they hit land because there is a limited air supply in the subs. They did the best they could. That's a small price to pay for having your own custom subs. Meanwhile, Ming, a.k.a. Serena the Goat, brings Iroh his meal. And Iroh, like, very gently warns her that she should go home because she's not looking great. And she probably wink, wink. I'm really glad he doesn't wink. That might be over the top. You might want to get out of here this afternoon. Warns her that she should go home and not be at the prison that afternoon. Very interesting. This is the part where we all stroke our beards thoughtfully. So she shouldn't be there, eh? Mm-hmm.
Can I say, I love this part of the whole thing. This is, I mean, I when I'm watching it again, I was like, I can't believe this like little afternoon cartoon has this real epic movie feeling. I love it when the crew gets together and they start getting prepared to go into battle and they start, it's this epic, I mean, it's like watching Star Wars or something and you're going, how do they do this for like kids in the afternoon on Nickelodeon? Like this, it literally had the same feeling and also even like an emotional feeling of like when Harry Potter, with kids of war now going into war, like it had this whole feeling like these are war kids that we start the whole show off. These are kids that are burdened by being children of war now going into war. And it's crazy. Yeah. It just had all this like really cinematic feelings in this little cartoon at whatever, 3 p.m. in the afternoon, Nickelodeon. How is this possible? This is crazy.
So true.
Okay, so we're back with Team Avatar. The gang gets ready to part ways. It's their last chance to talk before the fight really begins. And Aang and Katara find a quiet moment together.
Katara, I...
You go first.
We've been through so many things together. And I've seen you grow up so much. You're not that little goofy kid I found in the iceberg anymore. I guess what I'm trying to say is, I'm really proud of you.
Everything is going to be different after today, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
What if I don't come back?
Aang, don't say that. Of course you'll...
Ooh.
Katara, what are you doing? It's time to submerge.
What? Right, I'm on it.
All right, all right, all right. All you Zutara shippers out there, I just want to check in and see if everyone's doing okay. How's everybody doing?
How's everybody doing? Could be better. I think could be better.
That's rough, buddy, for sure.
Yeah.
For sure. Aang flies off and Sub's head down, and we go back to Zuko, who looks at a photo of him and Mei and apologizes to her. He leaves a scroll on his bed. It's a Dear John note, huh? Zuko's writing Dear John note?
Maybe
now
not.
We're back up with Aang. Maybe not. I don't know. It's not feeling good, Mei. Sorry. Gotta go. Gotta go. We're back up with Aang, who's taking advantage of the snack compartment of his glider. Finally, he gets it. Thank you, Mechanist.
Yes.
Anyway, the subs are being attacked by the chains that drag them up to the surface. That was pretty cool, too. You're like, how are they going to deal with it? And I'm like,
oh,
they're dragging them. Again, crazy, crazy cinematic stuff going on in this, you know, quote unquote kids cartoon. What's going on? This is blowing my mind.
Love it.
And then, but Appa and Katara take care of that. The fleet uses ice-covered torpedoes to breach the next barrier. They're so close. They hit land, and now it's time for the Earth Kingdom tanks to go to work. The Earthbenders do some awesome work on the ground, and they really get to enjoy these caterpillar-like tanks. One of them manned by Teo, and they can climb around. They crush stuff. I mean, who wants to play with those things? Like toys. I'm like, all those things. The caterpillars, even like the Fire Nation things that they're shooting the chains. It's like, where are these toys? I can't wait to play with these things.
Yeah.
It's almost as fun as the drill. It's almost as fun as the drill.
I know. I would choose the caterpillar. By the way, that caterpillar tank is designed. This is like based off a Leonardo da Vinci design, which I don't even know. Like, we don't have the time to go there, but check out the art book. But I think I would take the caterpillar tank over the drill. I know it's probably very controversial, but if I could pick a
drill.
Can we think remote control drill
right now, where you can actually drill holes into your own ground in your neighbor's backyard?
No,
I
would rather crush than drill. That's what I'm finding out about myself.
Oh. And then, I don't know if I have a preference, but I'll tell you what, if I had a neighbor kid who was drilling up my backyard and I went out there and I was like, hey, what the heck's going on? And the kid was like, we're playing Avatar. I'd be like, keep playing. You guys
as
are
you
good.
Were.
You, go,
playing.
You do your
as thing. You were.
As you were. Mess up my
as
yard.
You
That's
were.
Awesome.
Totally.
Okay, now the Swamp Benders. We get to the Swamp Benders, and they're doing some pretty awesome damage to the Fire Nation tanks, including some fierce work by the Swamp Monster in the water. Nice work, Hugh. Nice work.
Yeah.
You forget how powerful Hugh is in that monster. Monster that in the weeds or whatever the seaweed he got going on this place.
Yeah.
Now we got Komodo rhinos. We got fireballs. We got Team Avatar on Appa taking out battlements, but Hokoda gets hurt.
We need to get back to the troops.
You're hurt badly. You can't fight anymore.
Everyone's counting on me to lead this mission, Katara. I won't let them down.
Can't you heal him any faster?
I'm doing everything I can.
I'll do it.
No offense, Sokka, but you're not exactly Mr. Healing Hands.
No. I'll lead the invasion force.
So then we cut over to Zuko, who's at a shrine for his mom, reassuring her that he knows he's done wrong, but he's going to make things right. Anybody else starting to get the feeling that Zuko might be leaving the Fire Nation? Maybe.
Getting a lot of clues.
Then,
a lot of clues.
Then we're back with Hakoda as Katara heals his wounds the best she can, but it's going to take time. Sokka will have to take over for his father. He's going to lead the invasion.
Can I say, even though that, you know, Ursa left the Fire Lord, you know, he left a picture up of her. You know, he left a picture up of right. Ursa, the woman that left him.
Cool.
So that's cool. That's cool. He's a great guy. He left a picture of her. He's not a great guy, but there may be something he has still. He just left a picture, up of her. You know?
Okay.
Sure.
I like this. Okay. I like this notion that Dante is going to defend every member of the Fire Nation, no matter how terrible. Because Dante's going to find he's going to find the good in you. He's going to find if you're Fire Nation, he's loyal. I do love that. That's great. I think I might be more with Janet on this one, but you have to appreciate Dante coming in and being like, maybe there's good.
Absolutely.
That's awesome. So elsewhere, Aang has a bird's eye view of the heart of the palace, where everything seems a bit too quiet. And in fact, when he enters the giant golden doors to announce the Avatar is back, there's no one there. Outside, the invaders breach the final walls and charge at the Fire Nation soldiers, who seem to be retreating. Aang reaches the throne to find it empty. Will we ever find out? We certainly won't this week, because it's the end of part one.
Okay. How did they leave people like that? They left people like that for a whole week?
It's a two-parter.
I don't know. It's a two-parter. I want to go and check to see the actual like air date history to see if Nickelodeon had both of those locked and loaded, ready to go in one day.
Yeah.
That would be epic. But if we had to wait a week for that, brutal.
What?
I mean, they're pretty good about mushing those cliffhangers, with the exception of this the finales. They're pretty good at mushing them together. So they probably did air us two. I think like if you're watching it, depending on where you're watching it, it shows up as two episodes. It definitely was one episode with a little like title card in the middle. But you watch it out all at once. So yeah.
Parents, having a hard time getting your kids to help out with the recycling? Well, get those soda cans ready, because your youngsters won't be able to stop crushing them with the all-new Tankapiller. Based on a design by some guy named Leonardo da Vinci, who must have been named after a Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle, this useful toy will keep your kiddo entertained for hours and keep your recycling bin busy. Just roll the Tankapiller over the can, pull the crush lever, and let the fun begin.
May also crush things you don't want crushed. Manufacturer not responsible for missing phones, shoes, or souffles.
So let's get into most valuable bending. I mean, a lot is already happening in the bending realm. What do you guys think?
There's bending going all over the place. I mean, they're in war. There's bending everywhere.
Yeah.
Yeah. Huh.
With and with the mechanics of the bending, it's like we usually say most valuable bending and we're thinking of a person individually bending something. But then when you think about like the tanks and the submarines and all the gear that the Fire Nation has, like
who gets what's happening? One? I mean, obviously, like for Hakoda, the most valuable bending is his daughter healing him, or else he'd be in trouble. So to Hakoda, that's the most valuable bending. But like, the earth, in my mind, the earth, there's a lot of earth bending going on. It's very important, the earth bending happening when they're going, caterpillars and everything. So I don't know any particular earthbender, but I feel like it's, I don't know, something about earth bending in this episode is important.
Yeah. I mean, just like launching those rocks up at the battlements and everything. This was also like a tough one for me. And I was thinking about both bending and non-bending, because there's so much happening. I have to shout out this moment with Sokka, where he does this little sword slice on the weapon. It like, he like mounts the Komodo Rhino, was really cool. But I think my answer is going to have to be them working together, bending and non-bending, because as the invasion was happening, it's getting more and more epic. And there's a moment where Sokka and Katara, you know, their dad, and again, like Dante said earlier, you're reminded when watching this, these kids are going into war. It's one thing to have these kids, they are your adventurers, they're your heroes, but then when the parents show up, you're reminded, oh yeah, there's adults, and then there's these kids. And when they go into this, this crazy thing that's happening, their dad says, you know, Katara, Sokka, take out that battlement, work together, take care of yourselves, watch each other. He says something like that, and you're reminded, ooh, that's a dad. That's a dad telling two kids, like, have each other's backs. Using bending and non-bending to take down these battlements, I was like, I forgot how epic this was. And it's so great.
It's crazy.
Just that collaboration. Yeah, it's crazy. It's awesome. So that really hit me emotionally. But Dante might have it where the MVP really is like that healing. You need that.
Let me say this. Hmm. And tell me what you think about this, because I'm getting a little bit hokey here. But I think Hakoda would not say that Katara healing him was the most valuable. Hakoda would say his kids working together side by side would be his choice over the other.
I'm gonna get emotional.
You sound like John barfing. This is bad.
No, but I'm with you, Hector, because you said it got you emotional. It got me emotional too. With the, like I said, the kids going to war, and we are living in an era right now where we're back in a war era, and there are kids, there are teenagers in places in the world right now that are in these situations, and it did not fly over my head. It really impacted me when I was watching it. Like, wow, this is heavy.
Get ready to skidoo into stories, because there's a new season of Storytime with Josh and Blue.
Blue skidoo. We can too inside our storybook with you.
Your preschooler can wind down wherever you choose. Blue's always ready for a snuggly snooze.
That makeup almost ready for a nap now, too.
When it's time to settle down, Blue and all her friends are here for your preschooler. Listen to Storytime with Josh and Blue wherever you get your podcasts.
And then Zuko's journey of sort of realizing what his nation is doing and what they did is also, I think, just my
heavy,
right? The most relevant, because people are realizing that every single day, you know, in all parts of the world. People are sort of waking up to what's going on, and hopefully that means that things are going to change for the better, just like it does for Zuko. So thank you once again, Avatar The Last Airbender, for calling
Very poignant, very poignant, even in this moment.
Yeah.
I love it.
Absolutely.
I just want to share a couple of favorite moments from part one from fans reached out on Instagram. I just want to shout out Fondolin and also Madison Ham, who agree that Sokka really shining as a skilled leader and military specialist is a very favorite moment. Airbender Steven says that Appa armor, and TM Creo feels the same. But TM also says in part one, it's seeing the past friends come back together. Dante, this is for you. Seeing those past friends come back together for the invasion. And then Armor Goose says Sokka being reassured by his father that he is capable of leading the invasion. So a lot of family and friends moments in part one that people really love, which echoes how we feel too. So everybody's on the same page on that. That is a for sure. Real quick, I want to hear from you guys what people you were most excited to see come back for another run. We've got Swamp Benders. We talked about Tyro and Haru. We've got Teo and his dad. We've got Pipsqueak and the Duke, who we've seen before, so they're sort of like, we already know because they've been together and been reunited, so they kind of get shuffled off to the side, to be honest. But we've got the Hippo and the Boulder. What were you guys most excited about? And were there characters that you sort of wish in another world and in the multiverse you could have seen come back for us?
I'm so happy to declare this. I'm a huge Trekkie. I love Star Trek. So I'm always so happy to hear the late, great Rene Oberjangwa coming back as the Mechanist. One of my favorite characters. And I love Rene, and I love his voice, and I love his texture. And that's just a great story. And I love that father-son relationship. So happy to see him. In another universe, I would have also loved to have seen, I'm a huge King Boomy fan. I know Boomy right now in the world, he's like imprisoned, and we're gonna get to that.
Right.
But I would have loved to have seen King Boomy tear it up in this invasion. That would have been great.
Absolutely. Could not agree more. Dante, what about you?
I mean, I'm with you with the Mechanist. I love seeing that. I mean, like Pipsqueak and the Duke are my guys. I would love to see Jet. I would have loved to see Jet come back.
Yeah. I knew you were going to say that.
Jet's not here. Although I did appreciate seeing Tyro and Haru. I mean, also hearing Kevin Michael Richardson's voice, KMR, to hear his voice is like, like, damn, KMR, what's up? That's my guy right there. What's up, KMR? It's sounding great. So
his voice is like a warm blanket, that. Kevin Michael Richardson.
Oh, yeah.
Just wrap me in Kevin Michael Richardson's voice. It's the best.
Yeah, absolutely. And shout out to Michael Dow, who plays Haru. I mean, we could, you know, we love our Carlos. We love Carlos Alzraki, who we see in our Swamp Benders. Obviously, Mick Foley. We've got William Bassett, who's Hugh. Sterling Young, who's Pipsqueak. We've got Nick Swoboda, who's the Duke. I mean, this is Dwayne Duvall as Warden Poon. There is a great guest cast in this episode. And I agree with you guys. I also have a very soft spot for both of the father and son pairings that you guys both named. I love them both.
What about Jet? What about Jet? Do you want to see Jet come back?
I love Jet. I love the pairing of Jet and his son, the straw that he puts in his mouth. Another father-son pairing.
I think I love the pairing of Jet and Dante Bosco. I feel like that's the pairing right there. That's my favorite.
Super duo right
Dante
there.
And We're Jet. Great. That's the
awesome.
Super duo.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Absolutely. Yeah. Couldn't agree more. In terms of like other people that we don't get to see, I mean, I like to listen, I was going to say, I wish we could see her, but we do in the next bit. Mm. I always want Yue. And the eclipse.
She can still affect things. She is affecting things.
She can still affect things. So exactly. She's absolutely
For a second, Janet, I thought you were going to say, I would have loved to have seen Korra. I would have loved to see her. She would have tore it up. It would have been great. If only she could... elemental bend time and travel back in time. She would have been great to see Avatar Korra. Yeah, it would have been awesome.
You know it. What if like Hama had shown up and was like, hello, I got out of prison to help everyone. Everyone's like, no.
No.
Actually,
go.
No,
get out of here.
We're good, I think.
No, Hama, we're good. Hama.
Oh, great.
We're good, Hama. Yeah. We're good.
We're good. We're good. Yeah. All right. Well, I'm glad we got to take a breath, but I'm also very tense to get to this next week's episode. Here's what I'm going to say. Come back. Let's all meet back here in a week. I want you to wear the same thing that you're wearing right now.
You got
just
it.
Just for consistency. You know what I mean? Just for consistency. Yeah, so it feels like a nice flow through to the following week. We don't want to jar anybody by wearing something different. This is a two-parter. We got to stay consistent. Thank you, Perfector, for being one of our very, very favorite guests. Your legendary knowledge of and love for the Avatarverse is always a perfect addition to the podcast. It's always inspiring. And of course, we will see you next week. Until then, where should people find you? What should they check out?
Oh, thank you so much, both of you, for having me. It's always just such a blast. Check out my YouTube channel. It's called Heroes Reforged. We also have a podcast where, at the time of this recording, by the time you hear it, it may be a little older, but we just did a cooking special on my YouTube channel because I'm an awful cook. So my two friends made me cook like a 5-course meal for them, and we filmed it, and that's on the internet. So go check that out from our podcast, and I'd really appreciate it. Spoiler alert, I'm not going to tell you actually how it goes. I'm not going to tell you. Go check it out.
I'm sure it goes perfectly without a hitch.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Uh-huh. Awesome. Awesome. All right, everybody. We will see you next week. All right, friends, thanks for tuning in to this episode of Avatar Braving the Elements. Now, want more Avatar? You can follow the official Avatar accounts at Avatar The Last Airbender on Instagram and Facebook. You can also follow the official Avatar Braving the Elements account on TikTok at Avatar Official Podcast.
Tell your fellow Avatar friends to listen, rate, and follow the podcast on Apple Podcasts.
This podcast is hosted by Janet Varney and Dante Bosco. The theme song was composed and produced by Jeremy Zuckerman. Audio production and editing was provided by Zeke Rodriguez-Thomas and MindJam Media. Avatar Braving the Elements was executive produced by Lynn Keston-Sessler, produced by Lisa Summerscale-Steeler with consulting producer Janet Varney, with production support from Kira Chow, and special thanks to Avatar Studios, Garrett Beltis, and Danielle Pretzfelder-Demchik. Trademark, copyright, and phono record, 2023 Viacom International Incorporated, all rights reserved. This has been a Nickelodeon original podcast.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Did you know microwaves were created by accident? How about that in some of the first playgrounds, you could be pulled around in a cart by a real goat? I'm Joy Dolo, host of Forever Ago, a history show for the whole family. Every episode looks into the surprising and fascinating history of things we think are ordinary, but they're not. Make learning about the past and microwaves fun, and follow Forever Ago where you get your podcasts.